New Year. Hello and welcome to the first Trev and Ben podcast of 2022. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Trev.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too.
I don't know if I sound a little bit hoarse at the moment.
You do a little bit, yeah. Well, you're right.
Well, it was absolutely fine until about 10 minutes ago.
You've not got the Omicron, have you?
It's not Omicron.
That's not going to help your voice.
I'm hoping that's maybe where the voice is heading permanently. Then I can get all the film trailers in 2022.
Right, okay. I'm hoping That'd be good.
Hoping to take the gig from that American guy who does them all. You know, the one who goes, coming soon.
I don't think that guy still gets much work. I think that was quite a 90s thing to do in voiceovers. I think so, for trailers for films, yeah.
In a world where...
Yeah, like, that's very 90s, I think.
This is not happening anymore.
I don't hear it so much.
Because there used to be... I always used to think there were two film trailer voices. You'd get that one who did all the kind of horror and the drama... You know, one man, one dog, one terrible accident. You know, you get one. And then you get the one who did sort of the college comedies, you know, it's the tale of two girls, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I know the one.
Then that was the two voices for film trailers. But maybe these days it's changed a little bit.
Maybe. But
you know, we've got this running theme of verbal tics.
Yes, we do. Yeah.
I got this other one that I do. Just talking of film voice. Movie trailer voices. Whenever I see anything to do with Harry Potter,
yeah,
I think when Harry Potter came out, they had an English guy doing it, so they didn't have the big deep American guy, but they had this guy who went Harry Potter, and whenever anything about Harry Potter comes on, I can't help myself, I just go Harry Potter, just do it on my own.
I like the ones where you do it even if you're on your own. It's real commitment.
I do them all on my own, Ben. All of my verbal tics happen when I'm on my own.
Oh, it's when you start doing them in front of people, you've got to worry.
At the moment, I'm quite good at choosing the people I do them in front of. So if my best mate comes round, they all come out. There's no holding back then. But if I'm with my parents, like over Christmas, you know, I spent a lot of time with the family. And there times when you really want the... It's like it's there. It's wanted to come out, and you say, "I can't do this verbal tick now because that's going to start a conversation. It's all going to get a little bit embarrassing." So I hold them in.
Good, probably wise.
So anyway, how was Christmas, Ben?
Christmas was really nice because obviously the year before, stayed at home, shielding and all that sort of rubbish. Staying safe. This year, we decided, fuck it. So we got together with the family and there was no lockdown. So we thought, great, let's take advantage of it before Boris inevitably locks us all back down.
By the way, just to finish what we were saying, I've just realised we stopped a conversation without finishing it.
Did we?
Yeah, I was just going to say the reason that I'm a bit hoarse.
Oh, yeah.
We never got to that. I was too busy auditioning for movie trailer roles. It's been fine, but I had to pop out. And I had to just walk for about 5 minutes. And I think the cold has got to my throat, Ben.
Oh, diddums.
And, I've come home and it's like there's a real frog in my throat and I can't shift it.
You know, today was a work day for me.
It was a work day for me. I was working.
Yeah, but you indoors. Know what my job is, right?
Oh, here we go. I mean, honestly, every episode you find some reason to you know, I've started to write my own little bit of music, the Postman's Lament, that in 10 years' time they'll be playing at the last night of the proms.
I just want to clarify that you've been outside for 5 minutes walking from one house to another and it's made you ill. I am currently looking at my pedometer.
Yeah.
I've got 22,898 steps under my belt and it was snowing at one point today. So cry me a river with your short walk.
Well, the thing is, Ben, you know, I've been inside all day. So you're acclimatised to it. You know, you've got that, the advantage of being acclimatised to being out in that sort of weather. You're very much like a yeti in that sense.
Still got the shorts on, very proud.
Well, I mean, this is the thing that I don't understand. Yeah, it's fucking freezing today. You've just mentioned it was snowing and you're still wearing shorts.
I think you're considered weak if you're a postie and you don't have the shorts on all year round.
Is it? But I don't, none of my postmen wear shorts in the winter. Certainly not in the winter, no. Because I make a note of it. I write it down. I see them walk by. Shorts, no shorts. It's more
staring
often
at the postman's legs.
It's just a hobby. You know, feel like some people train spot, some people plane spot. I posted leg spot. It's a
good.
It's a hobby. I've got to fill my time somehow.
But you think you'll recover from the slightly bad throat?
I hope so, Ben, because my voice is my living.
Yeah, and I'm hoping you're sat there with a nice herbal tea and maybe a honey water or something to soothe the old pipes there.
That's a good idea. I haven't got any of that.
Good.
Now, back to Christmas.
Yes.
What did you get for Christmas? Anything exciting?
I couldn't really think of anything I needed. I mean, me and Mrs. Ben, we have a policy really of throughout the year, if there's anything we want or need, we just tend to get it.
I mean, you've certainly got a policy. We've learned this over the years that there's no presents. There's a birthdays, anniversaries, Christmas. It's just nothing.
No, that isn't fair. I do spoil her on her birthday.
it's like Scrooge's office the whole year round. It's a bit cold and Mrs. Ben goes to put an extra bit of coal on the fire. No.
She has the added inconvenience of having a birthday at the beginning of December. So, of course...
Oh, wow, selfish.
I'm completely snookered by December 25th because I've just spent a month getting her everything she wants.
Okay, so that's fine. You have a policy of you only buy things when you want them throughout the year. That's fine.
So works. I'm also... I didn't really have any ideas for anyone. I think my parents just got me the usual things, you know, socks. Terry's chocolate orange, a few nice little knickknacks, but
just a question about the socks. Are they? Yes. Are you still of an age where you are given novelty socks of any type? Or are they just plain black, grey, white socks?
Well, not to bring it all back to being a postman again, because I'm pretty sure people must be sick of me talking about it. But as
have they just given you a couple of envelopes and said stick them on your feet, a couple of jiffy bags.
As I am prone to wearing my shorts all year round, I like to try and stylize the legs a little bit. So I like to go for quite Larry socks to show a bit of personality. Yeah, just personalized socks. So they're quite stripy, polka dot, Larry, colourful things. Yeah,
nice. Now, do you like to wear other things to help your personality shine through when you're on your route?
I did, for my final delivery and collection before Christmas, go and do the whole route in a Santa hat.
Did you?
I'll be very honest, it wasn't necessarily to spread cheer and love. It was to remind them that it was a sort of unconscious nudge to tip your postman it's Christmas.
Oh, really? Do people still do that?
They do. I must admit, and I don't want to shit on my current route too much, but it's not quite as upmarket as the place I used to deliver to, and that has been heavily reflected in my tips. I think I barely just about scraped back the price of the hat.
How much was the Santa hat?
I think it was a fiver.
A fiver? So it's quite a deluxe one, I'd imagine.
Yes, yeah. Bloody boiling, though. I am angry and sweaty under that thing.
I think that's weird because I wouldn't think of tipping the postman or woman. It's a bit like in the past, in the old days, people used to tip the dustman. And
people still do.
Do they? I don't think it's a thing that happens around here. And I certainly, until they start putting bins back in an orderly fashion once they've done their thing with them, they are not getting a penny more out of me than they get from my council tax.
Well, I must admit, Mrs. Ben did suggest tipping the bin men. And I just thought, well, that's just transferring basically all the money I've got in tips for all my hard work and giving it to the bin men.
That's a very strange attitude to have because you're starting the chain with you.
It felt like she was giving away my tip to someone else.
Yes, but I mean, that's what I'm saying. You're starting the chain with you. Think about the person who's giving you the tip. That might be the husband or wife of someone who works on the dust cart, basically passing their tip on to you. So you've got to think, well, you know, you've got to complete the circle. You're just going,
we're just playing tenor tennis then.
Yeah, so what's the point? What's the point? Let's not tip it at all. So I got a very nice present.
Go on.
Bit of a saucy present. I'm going to send you a little picture of it. There were a couple of Christmas tree decorations of a very saucy nature.
Okay, I'm just opening up this picture now. Ooh! So it's basically two elderly elves.
I would guess it's Father Christmas and Mrs. Claus.
Yes.
Santa Claus and Mrs. Claus.
In their birthday suits. Mrs. Claus is covering up her top half with her hands, and it looks like the benefit of a slight gut is covering up her dignity and the lower end of things.
Yes.
And Santa has gone for the rather generous, shall we say, let's cover it, using his whole hat to hide his manhood.
Yes, I mean, so we don't know.
Mazel tov, Santa.
We don't know if he's filling the hat, though, do we? I mean, just holding a hat at that angle, it would droop and look as though it might be. But covering that, bearing in mind he comes from a cold climate. But he is Father Christmas. I'd imagine he is very well endowed.
I hope so.
But they've been on my tree. And it was one of those things where you thought, I don't know where to put them on the tree, because when my family came for Christmas, I wasn't sure whether that was the sort of thing they would want to see hanging on the tree. So I did put them around the side where they were still quite visible, but you sort of had to look for them.
I hope they were put high enough up that they were out of the direct line of eyesight of children and little ones.
Yes, although my godson, who's seven, he went on the search for them, and we had a good game of hot and cold as he searched for them. And he very much enjoyed the reward of finding them. The only thing I'd say about this, and I am incredibly happy with them, and they will be on the tree. Any Christmas tree I have for the rest of my life, they will make an appearance. But when they're hanging on the tree, it does look like I've stripped and lynched Father Christmas and his wife in some terrible holiday atrocity, some dreadful war crime against the spirit of Christmas. So that's the only thing I'd say about
it. Well, it's very nice. I did want to... I had a slight conundrum, and it may actually not be a conundrum about one of my presents. It may also be a confession.
Oh, okay.
I may have quite severely broken the law this Christmas.
Are you sure you want to admit to this on a recording that will find itself in the public realm?
Well, I have corrected the mistake.
Right.
So I won't be doing it again. And we all know, according to the government, that the police aren't interested in previous crimes. They don't look into historical crimes at all.
First question I'll ask, I'm not here as a lawyer or anything, but just a question I want answered first. Were you sweating when you carried out the crime?
Well, no, but that will become clear why.
Okay. You weren't flashing at night in the cold again, were you?
That's one of those horrible questions that smart-ass journalists like to ask people, isn't it? Where there is no answer to it. It's like they approach a politician and say, oh, you're still beating your wife? And they go, no. No, I never was. What? So, flashing again. Right, so, the present. Well, basically, as I said to you earlier on, when something takes my fancy, if I've been good and I run it past Mrs. Ben and we get the all clear for it, sometimes I get to buy a slightly more lavish item.
This sounds like there's a very administrative procedure that you have to go through for buying a present. You've got to get the all clear.
It was an expensive thing I bought myself.
Oh, okay.
And to my disgrace, I actually still haven't got around to using the blank
thing. Hang on, didn't you say you bought for yourself?
For us, for the house.
Oh, for us, yeah. But it's really something you wanted, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Are you familiar with an uni?
An uni?
Uni.
No, never heard of an uni. How do you spell uni?
O-O-N-I.
O-O-N-I. No, I've no idea what an uni is.
An uni is a pizza oven.
Ooh.
So I bought myself a... basically, my friend got... I'd seen one on a cooking YouTube channel I love called Sam, the cooking guy. He's got one. I've seen them used on YouTube before by other people. I've always sort of envied them and wanted one. Then my friend got one, and that kind of pushed me over the edge, because I basically went up to Mrs. Ben and I said, well, Andy's got one. Can I have one? And she just took pity on me and let me buy it.
Well, I was going to say, to get the go-ahead, all you've got to do is whine. We know now. He's got one. Now, is this one that goes outside? Or is this an indoors one?
Its recommended use is outside. Right. It can be used inside, but it is recommended not.
And is it like you have to put wood in, fire, burn the wood?
You can get ones that do that. Yeah. My one happens to be gas-powered.
Okay. Very harmful to the environment, Ben, but fine. Go ahead.
Yeah, just to alter a really, really tiny penis move of me. I bought the bigger one than my friend had, just to tell him I had the bigger one.
Did you, when you were asking Mrs. Ben permission, you go, and I want the bigger one? Aware that you were going to go and buy the bigger one? You just got the go-ahead to get one, and then you just went and bought the biggest one you could find.
It's more expensive than I care to admit, especially because I had to buy accessories for it as well. Anyway, moving on from that.
Yeah.
This is all part of the... the sort of, you know, when they sort of build character in the defense in a trial.
Yes.
I'm basically telling you why this all unfolded and how it did.
Yes, because at the moment I see nothing that has broken the law.
We'll get there. Mrs. Benn was secretly in contact with my mum before Christmas. The mum was saying, is there anything that you know that he, you know what Ben's like, he's terrible to buy for. Can you think of anything that he's got or he's interested in that we could give him as a little surprise or a little addition? And Mrs. Benn said, oh, he did just get himself a pizza oven, so maybe some accessory to go with that?
Okay, yeah.
So what happened was, I got a couple of surprise gifts Christmas Day from my parents, which I wasn't expecting. One of them was a lovely apron, which says, like, Pizza Chef Ben on it or something like that.
Very nice, yes.
Which I will, and so that went straight in my bag. And the other thing they gave me was what's called a pizza rocker cutter.
Pizza rocker cutter.
Very nice. Oh, what a thoughtful thing. Didn't even know you knew I had the uni. That's great. Oh, Katie did it. Oh, it was a lovely surprise. Oh, thank you. Into the bag it goes. Now, a pizza rocker cutter.
Can I try and guess what this might be?
Certainly.
This is what I'm seeing in my mind's eye. It's like a curved blade.
Yes.
With sort of flat wooden bits at each end. So
the flat wooden edge actually runs in a straight line down it. But yes, you're okay. Basically right.
Yeah.
It's a massive crescent shaped blade. So as I say, into the bag, lovely. Didn't think much of it. Got home, unloaded some of the presents, not all of them. Then, you know, you have a few drinks. It's Christmas time. You forget what you're doing. Before you know it, the time's gone. Time to go back to work. So I pick up my bag, put my headphones in it, my glasses, my phone, this, that, and the other. Off to go to work. I've been back to work about a week since Christmas now.
Yeah.
And I've only just discovered that I had completely forgotten I hadn't taken this thing out of my bag. I've been marching around East Grinstead with a 13-inch blade in my bag, which I'm pretty sure is illegal. And also, if I had been questioned by the police or stopped or searched and they said, do you have anything on you shouldn't have? I'd have said, oh, officer, because I'd forgotten about it. And they would have discovered an enormous fucking blade in my bag.
Well, the police need to be questioning postal workers on a more regular basis, in my opinion, just for starters. And secondly, the other thing is, of course, if they had have searched you, because I'm thinking, well, you could have said, I've only just bought that, because surely you can carry a blade if you're buying it and taking it home, because there must be some exemptions there. But you would have had no proof of purchase. All you would have been was somebody carrying a very large blade.
I know that the knife crime epidemic, especially in London, is no laughing matter, but I'm pretty sure those lads aren't going around with pizza cutters.
Probably not. Probably
and it's still not. In its box. And, I mean, I doubt many deadly weapons come with an ergonomic handle. So, would you let me off the hook? Would it be plausible enough? The thing is, I'm a 6'5" skinhead walking around with this thing, which doesn't help. It's not by choice either. It's just by fucking curse. But it is a fact. And I have this thing with me, which I'm sure could do a lot of damage if I wanted to.
There are two options here, I think, Ben. One is an option that I think is a possible option, and the other option is the one that I would definitely go for.
Okay, what's the possible option?
So the possible option is you say, I'm very, very sorry. Very sorry, officer.
What's this voice you're doing? Is this my voice?
It'll all become clear.
Okay.
I'm very, very sorry, officer. I've just bought myself a pizza oven, and this is the rocker cutter that goes with it. To which the policeman will reply, oh, well, of course. I mean, this is East Grinstead, and a house without an uni isn't worth visiting. So on your way, young middle-class man, is one option.
Good. And the one you'd pick?
Lock him up. Throw away the key. So, Ben, it's our first podcast of 2022, and as has become custom for us now, we start the year by looking at some predictions that have been made for the year ahead.
Yeah, we usually focus on some oddballs and get the predictions, don't we?
Yes, and we'll be returning to those oddballs momentarily. I just wondered if you've got any predictions for 2022 yourself?
Any predictions for 2022? I don't want to get political. I'm just going to say I don't think our current leader will see the year through. I think he'll be removed one way or another.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think we'll see the end of the pandemic?
No. I don't think we will ever know life again without coronavirus. Sorry to be depressing, but I just think it's going to keep mutating, and hopefully it'll become livable to a standard where we're pretty much back to normal. But I don't think we're ever going to shake it off. I don't think it can go away, can it now?
Well, Happy New Year.
Anything else I could predict?
Who's going to win the World Cup?
Who's going to win the World Cup? I'm going to back the Germans.
Back the Germans.
Yeah.
Interesting. That was a gut feeling, was it?
It was a gut feeling. Yeah. I think the Italians have obviously been very strong recently. We had a hell of a performance recently, but
not back in England.
No. I'm still not over the Euro finals. It just stings.
Yeah, I find if I don't think about it, if I don't see anything about it, it's like if you started watching some of the end of year reviews, that would crop up. So I would change channel at that point. Didn't want to be reminded of it. It's a painful memory.
It was painful twice because not only you had the pain of the loss, which you had to deal with, you thought, oh, that's gutting. I may never see England get to another final. Then you had the fallout of all the fucking racist idiots who made everything even worse just by... You thought, oh, can we not just, you know, be humble in defeat and you know, hold our heads high that we did so well? No, you've got to fucking ruin it with racist scumbaggery as well. Oh, brilliant.
I know. So let's not remember those dark, dark days.
So Germany 2022 for the World Cup, which I'm sure isn't being played in 2022, is it?
It is. Yeah.
Oh, it is. Is this the one in Qatar, is it?
It's in Qatar, so it's actually going to be next winter. So it's all going to be very odd. Very odd.
So Johnson's out, Germany's in. That's my hot picks for this.
All right. Well, let's see how you fare against some of our favourite...
I should ask you first. Did you have any predictions for this year?
I knew that the world's fucked.
Sorry, is that a statement of fact or a prediction?
It's a bit of both. You see, I think you're right. I've got a feeling that that we'll have a change of Prime Minister at some point this year.
It sounds good, doesn't it, until you start looking at the lineup of who'd be next.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I also think there's going to be much drama around Prince Andrew, but it's already starting.
Yes, I wonder if he's sweating now.
He can't remember. I mean, I'd imagine the pause.
But can she? I bet she can remember. She's got nothing but time on her hands now.
I'd imagine those pores are really straining to sweat at the moment, but it's just nothing's happening.
Yes, allegedly we should throw in quickly with our.
Oh, no, he says he can't sweat. There's no allegedly about it. We don't have to defend ourselves there. He's claimed out now that he doesn't sweat.
Of all the bullshit things. No, I can't.
Well, now you're getting into libel area. Now you're. But I think he's got enough legal problems on his hand. He's not going to bother with the Trev and Ben podcast. Although he might think, well, there's one I can win. Let's take him on.
So I might lose my house, but I finally get the podcast on the map.
Yeah, exactly. So it swings and roundabouts, really, isn't it? And I'll tell you what, Ben, just because I'm that kind of bloke, you can come and keep here for a couple of weeks while you get yourself sorted.
Thank you very much. I should stress at this point, this show is for entertainment purposes, and I don't believe a word of anything
that I say.
Now I'm sweating.
Well, it's good. It proves that you can sweat, because there are some people. There are some people, Ben. I say some people. There's one person. There's one human being who's ever lived in the history of mankind who can't sweat. So anyway, let's pit our wits against our favourite fortune teller, Mystic Veg.
Yes, the Asparamancer.
Jemima Packington.
Now, for anyone who doesn't know what an Asparamancer is, that's completely understandable because, no, it's not understandable, actually. If you've been following us for any sort of time, you should know what an Asparamancer is.
Yes.
An Asparamancer is someone who tells the future... by way of asparagus.
Yeah, she tosses the asparagus spears into the air and then interprets how they land.
Yes.
And she's got, you know, people, you might be laughing at this. If you've never heard of the asparamancer, you might be having a little giggle to yourself. Thinking, you know, I've never heard such nonsense. Let me just tell you, over the years, she has correctly predicted Brexit, Boris Johnson becoming Prime Minister, as well as Harry and Meghan stepping down as senior members of the royal family. So there is form here, and we're talking good form, top form.
Let's not pretend for a minute that you're not just cherry picking the three things she ever got right and forgetting everything else she's ever said. But well, let's hear what she's got to say.
Well, it's interesting because you and I have both said that we believe there'll be a change of leader in this country in the next year. She believes Boris Johnson will remain in Downing Street this year.
Boris Johnson, Remainer? I wouldn't have thought that, surely.
Well, it depends which way he thinks he's going to win. Then he'll decide.
He's got his article written for either eventuality, I'm sure.
And she even thinks that he will outlast Labour leader Keir Starmer.
Okay.
She's also prophesied more misery for the royals, including scandals and worse.
Now that isn't a prediction. That's just again, I'm not going to get myself into legal difficulties. But at what point are you just observing what's actually happening?
But what's worse than a scandal?
Oh, I hate to say it.
Well, you're not talking about...
Well...
Oh, she's got many years.
Well,
she's got many years.
I think that's worse than scandal, and it's on the cards, mate. I think.
No. We are not predicting that. We are not.
No, we're not. We haven't said anything, Trev. Haven't said anything.
We haven't.
If you have heard a little thought in your head listening to this podcast, that's on you.
And I'm going to tell you now that this time next year, when we're recording our New Year podcast, that will not have happened.
Although. I mean, it would be another bank holiday, wouldn't it?
Oh, we might get a couple. Mind you,
we're straight to hell now. Thank you very much.
We're getting one for a big platinum jubilee anyway. So we're going to have a bank holiday.
Fair enough. Good. So,
you know, what you're saying, I mean, what you're saying is diabolical, Ben. What you're saying is you hope she sees it through so we get the bank holiday for the platinum jubilee. Oh, and then after that.
I mean... That would be best case scenario if it had to happen, wouldn't it? Worked out that way.
I'm sure this happens anyway, but I'm certainly going to email Buckingham Palace and just get them to double check any post that arrives with an East Queen's postage stamp on it. Just to make sure there's no sort of anthrax or anything being sent through the post courtesy of Bee Harmer.
Oh, God, I'm going to have so many royal lawsuits on my hands by the end of this podcast.
Anyway, let's not even consider that.
It's terrible.
Not going to happen. I asked you
long about to reign over us, God save the Queen.
Quite right. In the world of football, I didn't ask you this, who would win the Premier League. Now, as we record this, Manchester City are quite a way ahead at the top of the Premier League. I think, is it 10 points clear?
8 last time I heard, but 8. That may well have changed. So, yeah, I think I'll back Man City. Yeah.
Right. She's predicting Manchester City will not win the Premier League and they will be pipped to the title by Manchester United.
Now,
who are currently more than 20 points behind them.
I would like to know how the asparagus lands in a way that says... Manchester United will overturn a 20-point deficit to beat the 8-point clear Man City. How much asparagus is she throwing? Do they have to spell it out or what?
Well, no, it's about the... they obviously form in a certain way. I mean, she says it sounds silly, but it is easier to do than to explain. But certain patterns form and then predictions come to her. So she talks about the royal thing. She says when the asparagus fell, they kind of fell and there was a crown motif. And that's how she knew that something is going to happen to the royal family.
I'm sure she's an expert, a pro at her game, and she knows exactly what she's talking about. And it is a fine science, far too advanced for my pea-sized brain. And it just, you know, to you and I, it might sound like a load of old shit, but of course, I'm sure there's a lot of science behind it.
Well, I'll just remind you, in her words, I'm usually about 75 to 90% accurate with my predictions.
Okay.
I go through my predictions each year and think, yep, that's happened. Yep, that's happened.
Okay. What else has she got?
The World Cup. I asked you about the World Cup. She's gone for interesting choice, but might be worth a bet. She's backed Croatia to win the World Cup.
Okay. I mean, I wouldn't put money on it.
Why not? I mean, if you put a tenner on Croatia, I'm going to look up what the odds are right now of Croatia to win the World Cup, right? And let me just say that if you were to put a tenner on, then wouldn't it be worth it if you were going to win potentially a lot of money?
I think you would win a lot of money for that bet.
Right. So the odds for Croatia, as they stand right now, are 6,600 to 1.
Jesus. 6,600 to 1.
Yes.
So my maths isn't great and neither is my understanding of betting, but that would be a tenner well spent.
I'm assuming it's to one. I don't understand betting. I've never really betted. It says
that would be
plus
£66,600 for a £10 bet, would it not?
I guess so. I mean, it says plus 6,600. Does that mean to one? Because it doesn't actually say to one. I'm assuming that means to one. I don't know.
I don't really understand odds, but let's just, I think it's quite clear that you'd get a good return for that bet.
So you can.
But there's a reason that you get a good return for that bet.
Yeah, but I mean, you could poo-poo it, but if you were to put a bet on right now and old Mystic Veg comes through for you, you wouldn't be so negative then, would you?
Well, you see, now I'm going to feel like an idiot if I because you'll point this out when Croatia win the World Cup and you'll play the audio back of me scoffing and not putting a tenner on.
Yeah.
And then I'll be on in a future podcast somewhere fuming that I'm 66 grand out of pocket.
Yeah, I know.
So I feel like I have to put a tenner on Croatia.
I think the Trev and Ben podcast, we should put a tenner on.
We can do that.
Okay, let's do that. We'll definitely
I'll
do that.
I'll send you a fiver.
Right, a couple of other things she's predicted. We will be shocked at the news of the unexpected demise of showbiz legends.
Now, I don't want to get macabre, but I do think 2016 was it 2016 that was a particularly bad year for celebrity deaths?
Yeah, although I have read since then that there were no more celebrity deaths than any other year, really.
It felt like it.
There were some big names, and they happened. It was relentless for a few weeks, wasn't it?
Yes. I'm just struggling to think of how many people are left that you could consider legend status or whatever the word was used.
I don't want to throw any names out there because I don't want to add to any possibility. Do you know what I mean? I feel like I could bring some bad karma upon people if I name them.
Yes, and I'm very much with you on that because we've already flirted with this once during this podcast in the most royal way possible.
Yeah.
Dangerous. Also, we have a terrible habit. If anyone's unfamiliar with the curse of our podcast, we've had a terrible, you'd never have heard a word of it, but we've had bad luck over the years recording stuff about people.
Yeah.
And then by the way, their week was worse than ours, don't worry. They snuff it just before the podcast is due to go out.
Yeah.
And we then have a frantic phone call saying, oh, you know, we talk shit about that person for 20 minutes. That all needs to go.
I mean, I don't know if I should just tell you this again because it was the name that immediately popped into my head. I'm not claiming to have any powers.
Well, I must say, a name immediately popped into my head.
Okay, right.
So you do yours and I'll do mine.
All right. Paul McCartney.
It's exactly the same person.
No way.
It's exactly the same
one. Did you say, oh, fuck.
Hand on my heart, I was going to say Macca.
Oh, no.
What have we done?
Oh, God. Look, I mean, we have no, you know, we've got no powers.
If we had powers, people, this podcast would be bigger than it is.
And also, there'd be a lot more people gone in higher positions of power than Paul McCartney. I wouldn't turn my attention to Paul McCartney if I had such power.
And now, I think I know, because that cynical people listening to this might think, oh, that you know, they've staged it. Of course, you thought, we honestly haven't done that. But I mean,
hang on, you're assuming that people think we planned this shite we put out every week.
I think the trap we fell into was I subconsciously set up who's left that's a living legend, and Paul McCartney very much goes into, you know, top of the list of that category.
I think that's probably it, really, isn't it? Yeah,
I think so.
It's just that he's a living legend. So, yeah, okay, fair enough. I'll give you one more of the experimenters. This is one that will come up quite soon. The Oscar for the best film will go to The Power of the Dog. There's a film I've never heard of.
No, I've heard of that.
Just look out for that. That's going to, I think the Oscars, I don't know when they are. They're normally quite early in the year, aren't they?
I don't know. I've got a very quick, I was thinking about recommendations. I'm not sure if I'm going to do recommendations this podcast, but I have a very quick confession to make. I am. Everyone's losing their mind over this Leonardo DiCaprio film with Jennifer Lawrence. It's called Don't Look Up.
Mm.
It's 2.5 hours long, which breaks one of my big rules. Mrs. Ben loved it, insisted I watch it. It was okay, but my God, it was long, and an hour went by and nothing had fucking happened. But everyone's losing their minds over it, so it's probably just me that doesn't get it.
I was talking to someone this very afternoon, Ben, who said to me, we were just talking about what we'd watched over Christmas, and he said, oh, I saw this film on Netflix called Don't Look Up, have you heard about it? I said, yeah, no, I've heard a couple of people that have seen it, and all I'll say is that I've had varying reviews, right?
Okay, I'm not... I'm not going to like this, am I?
All he said to me was, he said, fucking hell, I reckon if Leonardo DiCaprio goes to Netflix, however shit the idea is, they just go with it.
He was on my side.
He was on your side. He thought it was a waste of his life watching it.
I thought I was alone.
Yeah.
By the way, it's not awful. That'd be unfair. It's nothing to get that excited about. It's 2.5 hours as well. I don't know if I mentioned that. It's 2.5 hours. But no, everyone seems to love it. So I really thought you were going to say, my friend thinks you're an absolute dickhead. You need to rethink things. You don't understand how films work. You shouldn't be able to talk about films. You shouldn't be able to recommend anything. That's a real relief.
No, he just said he reckons that Leonardo DiCaprio and whoever else is in it, who's the female lead in it?
Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah. He said if they went to Netflix, no matter how shit the idea would be, they'd just go, yeah, make it. It's basically the home. He said to me, it's basically the homes for films big film companies wouldn't want.
That's very cynical, but I like it.
Right, so back to some predictions. Let's just turn to another one of our favourites, Baba Vanga.
Oh, yes, this is the... am I right in saying... Are you allowed to say blind anymore? Is that a thing?
Yeah. She's a blind clairvoyant.
Oh, okay, I'm so obsessed now with cancel culture. You wouldn't believe it listening to this podcast, but I am. I'm worried if blind is a word we're not allowed to use anymore. Anyway, blind...
But kidding the queen, not a problem.
Long to reign over... the blind mystic who, I'll be honest, I thought was dead.
Well, I did as well, but it would appear not. I can't find
any... Every year the predictions come back round again.
Yeah. So she's got some... she's full of doom and gloom, mate. I wish she would cheer up a little bit. She's predicted for 2022 there'll be a virtual reality takeover. With people
that sounds really fun. What are you talking about?
He says more people spending more time in front of screens than ever before.
I'm on board. This sounds like good news to me.
Okay, so you're suddenly on, you're on Baba Vanga's side.
Yeah, down with people, up with machines.
All right. She's also envisaged another pandemic, this time discovered in Siberia, caused by a frozen virus that will be released by climate change.
To be fair, is it any more mental than... the idea, currently unknown or unproven, but that the current pandemic that is plaguing the entire planet was caused by someone eating a bat in Wuhan.
Yeah.
I mean, is that any less or any more mental? I'd say... No, it's not. I'd say fine.
So
it's
there
plausible.
We are. Okay.
I'll give it to her. I'll give it to Baba.
Many cities will be hit by water shortages, which will have political consequences as countries are forced to find alternatives.
Water shortages?
Yeah.
Okay.
Presumably that's going to be droughts, massive droughts. I mean, she's very downbeat.
Yeah.
This old Baba.
No fun at parties is Baba.
I mean, she's got such a fun name. Baba Vanga.
It's fun to say, isn't it?
If you thought, you know, if you were having a party, you go, oh, is Baba coming? I hope Baba's coming because she's going to be, oh, I love it when Baba's here. She's like the life and soul. And in she comes with her dreary predictions.
I mean, she's got such a great name. I wouldn't ever shorten it. She'd always be Baba Vanga.
Yeah, I think at a party she'd be known as Baba or Babs.
Or maybe to you.
Eventually, depending on how well you get to know her. Aliens would invade the planet by sending an asteroid to seek out life on Earth with an unfriendly outcome.
I mean, she started off in the world of plausibility. Now we're alien invasion.
Alien invasions, mate.
Extreme.
That might save us from the frozen virus, though. If we're all wiped out by aliens, we ain't got to worry about the virus, have we?
Or, the other way around, whoever the virus doesn't kill, the aliens will.
Ben, I thought before we wrapped up this week, I would bring out one of the Christmas presents that you... bought for me, that we unveiled. I'm going to carry on this time, but I'm going to explain to anyone listening that this is about the fourth take of this bit. the editing job I've got ahead of me on this fucking podcast, ridiculous.
I mean, I'd be apologetic if it wasn't all your fault. You need to put your teeth in, man.
I'm just exhausted. My throat hurts. I'm just a wreck. I mean, no one's predicted my untimely demise. Maybe I'm one of the showbiz legends. Maybe the unexpected demise eyes of a showbiz legend. I'm not sure I'm in that category, but who knows?
Oh, you're a legend to me, Trev.
Thanks, mate. So someone will at least be upset. So anyway, I've dug out the Riddles for Adults book, which you bought me for Christmas and which we unveiled on the Christmas podcast.
Yes.
Which I finally managed to say. So I'll just pick one, a couple of random.
Yeah, go for it. Which book are we using? Is it the Riddles or the Would You Rathers?
This is the Riddles for Adults.
Riddles for Adults, okay.
Yes, which I did say, had you been listening?
Well, I'm sorry, I did. To be fair, I was listening the first 17 times you started the sentence, but I sort of zoned out a little bit after
I thought perhaps the thought of my demise, you'd sort of gone into a bit of a fugue state.
No, I was just sitting here thinking I don't know any of the login details. I don't know. The podcast has come to a grinding halt.
Well, of course. I mean, what are you going to do if I was to suddenly...
Well, I'd like to, if you were to suddenly go, or I was, I'd like to think that one of us could do a sort of in memoriam type podcast just to let everyone know, not just disappear off the face of the planet.
Rest assured, Ben, if anything was happened to you, I would do that. And I'm sure that you would do one for me. And I will leave somewhere... I've been thinking about doing this. I'm quite a morbid person at heart.
I know you are, yeah.
And I have been thinking recently about, about doing a will, doing the whole proper legal thing, but also just writing a letter. I've always had this kind of romantic notion of having a letter that is in one of my sort of archive boxes that someone would have to go through, where all my bank stuff is and all of that, and it would just have on it, to be opened in the event of my death.
Assuming that it could be read at all throughout the tear-clouded eyes of the reader.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly wouldn't handwrite it because the ink would just drip because of all the tears.
Shall we get on with these fucking riddles?
But I will leave within that letter a little bit at the bottom to whoever finds it, as I've explained all of my hopes and fears for the future of the world that I will no longer be a part of. I will leave all the passwords for you.
Thank you very much.
Right. Here we go then. My first part compliments people. My second part makes things known. My third part hurts feelings. My fourth part holds a previous treasure. My fifth part is used when sharing fancy beverages. What am I?
What?
I mean, my first part compliments people. Second part makes things known. Third hurts feelings. Fourth holds a previous treasure. And fifth is used when sharing fancy beverages. What am I?
This is so, so convoluted. I can only assume what this is. It's a long word.
Yeah.
With five syllables. And when split up into its five syllables, the first syllable is whatever that was, a way to compliment people.
Yeah.
The second syllable will be what, to hurt someone's feelings?
And the second part is makes things known.
I don't know how you could do that in three syllables. Shout, cry. That's where I'm going. I don't know what the word is, but I think it's going to be a five syllable word. Right. When broken down, all the syllables can do different things.
The fifth part is used when sharing fancy beverages. I mean, what's a fancy beverage? Champagne.
So what? But what's used to share champagne? What do you call it? A flute?
Flute. Champagne flute.
So now we need to think of a five syllable word with the last syllable being with flute. It's unlikely, isn't it?
I don't know. I genuinely don't know.
I think I'm going to have to tap out on this one. I can't think.
Okay. The answer, what? I mean,
is it going to annoy me?
I think it will. It's already annoying me. The answer is hand.
I beg your pardon.
It doesn't explain it either. It just says.
What do you mean it doesn't explain it?
It doesn't explain it. It just says hand. That's all it tells you.
Are you sure you're looking at the right answer page?
Yes.
Okay,
I am.
So let's go over again.
Right.
You give me the thing again. I'll say hand after everyone, and we'll see if it makes sense at the end.
Right. My first part compliments people.
Hand.
My second part makes things known.
Hand.
My third part hurts feelings.
Hand.
My fourth part holds a previous treasure.
Hang on a minute.
Is it fingers? Is it two of your fingers?
So it isn't fucking hand, then, is it? It's fingers.
So thumbs up compliments people.
Thumbs up, middle finger for...
pointing.
Go again.
Right.
Yeah, go again.
First part compliments people.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up. Second part makes things known.
Pointing with your index finger.
Yeah. Third part hurts feelings. Giving someone a finger.
Giving someone the middle finger. Fourth one.
Holds a previous treasure.
Ring finger for marriage and weddings. Right. Yep, got it.
Fifth part is used when sharing. So you raise your little finger when you're drinking tea.
A posh cup of tea might be very British and very poosh and raise one's pinky.
Yes.
So the answer isn't fucking hands, then, is it?
You bought me this book, mate.
Throw it in the bin.
Right, let's do one more. Within passion's fruits they will be found, and more of them in the pomegranate's crown. Rove they are within an apple's core, yet other fruits have them more. And though the nectarine has but one, still this is all just in fun. Playing hide and seek a children's game, finding out each other is just the same. Good luck with that, mate. I don't even know. It's not even a question.
It sounds like something the board game Jumanji would spit out and you're supposed to work it out. I've got no idea. All I can think of is pips and seeds, but that just seems too basic.
It's got to be seeds, isn't it?
That's what I thought. I mean,
if that's the answer, it's ridiculous.
If that's the answer, it's not really a riddle. It's just a fact.
Right, hang on, I'm going to look the answer up. I'm not going to spend too much time with this one.
No, please don't.
The answer is seeds.
What seeds? For fuck's sake.
Oh, right, one more. Let's just do it, because that's shit. I can't finish on that one. Men in skirts blow into these.
Beg your pardon.
Men in skirts blow into these.
Is that it?
I mean, that's it. Yeah. But I think I've got it.
Bagpipes.
But yeah, I think the Scots would find that very offensive. They're not skirts.
I wouldn't walk up to
kilts. They're not skirts.
I wouldn't walk up to a kilted Scotsman and tell him he was wearing a skirt and expect not to have that bagpipe shoved where the sun doesn't shine.
Well, there we are. That's it for our first podcast of 2022. Thank you very much for listening. Before we go, as always, a couple of recommendations. And I've got two for you this week, Ben.
What have we got?
One is a film on Netflix, which didn't...
Well, don't look up, is it?
Didn't, no, and it didn't originally come out on Netflix. It's called A Beautiful Day in the Neighbourhood.
Okay, what's that?
Now, it's based on a true story. Now, there was a guy in America who for years had a TV show, and his name was Fred Rogers, and it was kind of a children's TV show, and he was just... I saw a documentary about him a while back and then heard this film was coming out, so I've been very excited about seeing this film. Fred Rogers was like the nicest man in the world.
Really?
He would do all these shows for kids, and it would all be about, you know, all be for children who perhaps have been going through a tough time or had a disability, and just making them feel worthy and just helping them when they're in moments of trouble and all of that. It was just... he's just a lovely, lovely man, right? And he met up with this writer called Lloyd Vogel, who wanted to do a piece of him. I guess this was in the 80s, and they became really good friends. And Lloyd Vogel had issues with his dad, and Fred Rogers sort of helped him see them through. So it's the story of their relationship. Tom Hanks is in it playing Fred Rogers. I mean, he's always good, isn't he?
Oh yeah.
You're not going to come away from a Tom Hanks film feeling depressed, are you? It's a very joyful film.
Yes, I think that's goes without saying that I think there are probably some conspiracists that would disagree, but I think Tom Hanks is up there with one of the nicest people in the world. Yeah.
Nicest people in the world. Yeah, definitely. And the other thing I'm going to recommend to you is something I haven't seen yet. We're recording this on Tuesday night, and it's just gone 9 o'clock, and it's on in about 50 minutes. Now, you might not know about this. I was so excited when I saw this the other day.
Okay.
I'm going to explain to you why I'm excited about this, but it started with a level of confusion. Now, this might not mean much to some people listening to us in other countries, but on the BBC iPlayer, where you can catch up on old TV and things you've missed... It's a catch-up TV service for the BBC.
You got it, yeah. Right?
I noticed that they had all of the Toast of London shows.
Okay, I know you're a big fan.
And I thought, well, that's really weird, because they were all on Channel 4. They weren't on the BBC. So I was very confused, Ben. Why are they on the BBC iPad? I don't understand. And those sorts of things bother me. I have to sort of get to the bottom of it. It doesn't make
sense. Most people just go, oh, that's nice. It's on the iPlayer now.
No, but that doesn't make sense to me. How can that be there? So did a little bit of research. And basically, the BBC have commissioned a new series of Toast. So they've obviously got the whole back catalogue as well to put on their
iPad. News.
So tonight there starts a new series where Toast goes to Hollywood.
Oh.
It's called Toast of Tinseltown, and I think he goes and gets a film part in Hollywood. So a lot of the old characters are going to be in it, but obviously there's bound to be some new ones. And if you don't know who Toast is, he's an actor played by Matt Berry. He's kind of like an idiot, really, isn't he? Not a very good actor, but it is absolutely hilarious.
But just to clarify, you mean the character he plays?
The character. Matt Berry is fantastic. Massive fan. If you've never seen any of Toast, I'd go and watch Toast of London first. I have mentioned they're all available on the iPlayer. So go and watch all of those. Then you'll get to really know what the character is and what he's about. It's all a bit weird. It's a bit surreal at times, but it's very surreal at times. But it's hilarious. So that starts tonight. Very well worth a watch, I reckon.
Excellent. Well, I don't have a recommendation this week, but whilst you mentioned sort of the nicest people on earth, I did want to give a quick mention to Keanu Reeves, has donated 70% of his salary from The Matrix to leukemia research.
Wow.
I think he's gone through his own very difficult problems with his sibling, and so that's always stayed with him. And as a result, he is only too happy to donate millions and millions of dollars to very good causes. So I think Keanu Reeves, top bloke. Well done.
Well done. There we are. That's it. Thank you very much for listening and downloading. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us anytime. We're at Trev and Ben on Twitter. And we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.